Well, we want to give a big happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the room. And you know what? Is it just a, yeah, give them a round of applause. They deserve it. What is really neat to, when you look at the beginning story of the world as we know it, not the beginning of time because God has always been, but as it says that God created us in his own image. And then in another place in Genesis, it says that he created them male and female. And so that says to us that God's image is in all of us. And it's such a, one of the neat things about thinking about Mother's Day or Father's Day is thinking about those attributes that we see of God and the differences between men and women. Because you really do get different ideas of God's love and compassion and care from a mom more than sometimes you would think of that from a dad. And we are particularly grateful for all the moms and the ladies in the room who helped to bring us that aspect of God that we get to see that in you, whether you're a mom or not. And so what I want to do before we get started today is I just want to say a prayer of blessing over all the ladies that are with us today. So I'm going to ask you to do something that I know my own wife would say not to do, but I'm going to ask all the ladies to stand. My wife doesn't like to be pointed out to stand, but I want all the ladies to stand. Because I want to say a prayer blessing over you. You're not going to have to do anything crazy or weird. Just stand up. That's all you have to do. And it doesn't matter what age you are. If you're a lady, please stand because we're going to say a prayer over you. And let's just all close our eyes and say a prayer blessing over our ladies in the room. Thank you, dear God, for your creation, creating them male and female. Thank you for the ladies that are among us, all of these women who are so rich to our fellowship as a family. Who bring us so many great things and so many parts of us seeing who you are, God, what they bring to our life and our family life here. And God, I ask a blessing on each lady that is here today, that they feel a special touch from your spirit this day to know how much you love them, that you created them, that you made them beautiful just as they are, and that, God, you have great purpose for them in this life. So, God, we ask your blessing. The men and I in the room, we join saying, God, bless these ladies around us the way that they have blessed us. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. You may be seated now. When I was growing up, when I was a kid, my dad was the one that made sure we were in church every week. And that wasn't necessarily a good thing for me. I didn't care for it that much at that time, but he made sure we were in church. And for a while, I remember when we were little, we would go to church, and then we would go to my grandparents for Sunday lunch. And my grandma, on my dad's side, would always make some lunch up, and we'd have lunch. And then after that, we would gather in the living room around the TV to watch Big Time Wrestling. Church and wrestling, right? It doesn't get any better than that. And maybe some people are old enough to remember Big Time Wrestling. It's when we had some wrestling greats like Bobo Brazil. Is he up there? Pretty tough guy, right? Bobo Brazil was known for the headbutt. And he'd take somebody out and bang him in the head and they'd fall to the mat. Then there were greats like the Sheik. The Sheik could make fire come from his hands. You might have saw a little flip of something, but it was really cool. Fire would come from his hands. And then there's one named Pampero Furpo. Now, I don't know what the Furpos were thinking when they said, let's name our son Pampero. But I just remember this hairy guy is what I remember, just like that. I remember him. And then how about this one? Haystacks Calhoun. Haystacks was in this overalls, this big guy, and he was a little intimidating. I looked up some of these pictures and thought, he doesn't look nearly as intimidating to me now. He just looks weird. If you met that guy in public, you would say, I'm going this way, you go that way. He's a little strange. Then through the 80s, we had the WWF, right? The World Wrestling Federation became a big thing. It later was turned to WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. I don't get that because what I watched was all very real with Bobo Brazil. And so, who was the big guy known for? Hulk Hogan, right? All the little Hulksters he would talk about. Well, I remember in particular something that there was also Macho Man Randy Savage, right? That guy. But I remember with Hulk Hogan, one of the things he would do that was always pretty cool, he would be about to be beat, he's laying on the mat, the guy's on top of him, he's about pinned, and he would do what he would call powering out. Anybody remember that? And he'd start to shake. He's laying on the mat, and he would start to shake. And all of a sudden, he'd get this extra energy, and he'd throw the guy off of him because he powered out, and he was pretty awesome. It was also very real. That's why they changed the name to World Wrestling Entertainment. Don't you wish that that life was a little like that? Not guys in spandex wrestling. But life was a little like being able to just power out when things get really hard. When things weigh you down and they've got you held to the mat. And you could, if you could just have this unexplainable energy to shake and throw off the bad guy and become the victor and whoop the bad guy's can and, you know, all that stuff and just be the winner. Don't you wish it was that easy sometimes? Well, we're in a message series right now that we're calling Living on Life Support. And the whole point of this series is that when things are difficult, we can't just power out. When the unforeseen things happen with some unforeseen energy, if we're going to make it, we need some lifelines that are going to support us, that are going to get us through this Christian life when it's really hard and it's really difficult. So we're going to pray this morning, and we're going to talk about another lifeline today. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for fun. I thank you for laughter. I thank you for old memories. When I'm talking memories and thinking of the wrestling, I also remember being with my grandma and my grandpa and my grandma's rice chicken soup that was like nobody else's. And the role that they play in our lives. We get life from our family, and they are a great source for us. And today we're looking at the family in another way, but we know it's a lifeline, and we ask you to speak to us about that this morning and draw us closer to you, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The lifeline we're going to talk about today, friends, is our spiritual family, belonging to a spiritual family. I mean, today's Mother's Day, and mothers, if they remind us of anything, they remind us of the importance of that deep connection of family. Maybe better than anybody else, moms tend to be the ones who hold the glue together in the family, keep the family going. And so we appreciate that aspect, but not all of us have had good families. Not all of us have had good experiences. Not all of us have had good mom experiences. So we don't know what we're talking about so much there, but what we're talking about is the intention, and those of us who have had that know what I'm talking about in that connection to our spiritual families. But listen, there's actually a family connection that's more powerful than your family of origin. More powerful than your family of origin. It's the spiritual family that the Bible calls the body of Christ. And it's a lifeline that will help you to power out and many of life's toughest challenges. You see, as followers of Jesus, God's put people around you and around me who get this. They're actually blood related. And they're blood related through the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross for you and me. Believers share life together as brothers and sisters because of the bloodline of Jesus. We need to be supportive in our relationships. If we're going to make it through this life, this is a mandatory lifeline, and we're all held together by what Jesus did for us. Even in the beginning, God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, and it was a perfect environment. A perfect environment, and all these other animals, all these things around to take his attention. But God knew that it would take more than animals, it would take relationships. So he brought to man woman to have this first relationship, and we've lived in these relationships ever since. When you're born physically, you become part of the human race, but you don't become part of a family until somebody makes the decision to take you home from the hospital. You also can become a Christian, but be born spiritually in Christ, but to become part of God's family of believers, you need a local family, a church family, where you can give and you can be given to, where you can receive support and you can give support. And here's how Scripture speaks of spiritual family. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "Then, even if I am delayed, you will know how to live in the family of God." The family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. Friends, the spiritual family is the church. What happens when a building doesn't have proper support or a proper foundation? it eventually collapses, doesn't it? And God's saying, you won't make it in this Christian life without the lifeline, the support that comes to you from the church family. You'll have no support, no foundation, and you'll not be all that God wants you to be without the church family. It's that important. It's critical and it's crucial. You see, being a Christian isn't just a matter of believing, it's a matter of belonging. Being a part of God's family. But understand, there's a difference between attending a church service and belonging to a church family. God doesn't want church to be something you go to. God wants church to be the family that you're a part of. So let's spend the rest of our time talking about how the church is a lifeline, and to us who use it as a life support in this life as a Christian. The church is a lifeline in five ways. First is this: my spiritual family helps me focus on God. Helps me focus on God. Do you ever lose your focus or forget about the fact that God's with you all the time? I mean, I do sometimes, and I'm a pastor. I sometimes go through part times in my life where I go a while without even thinking about the fact that God is always with me. I sometimes need to stop and I need to refocus. Do you ever find yourself being distracted by trivial things that really just aren't that important? Well, the Bible says that one of the purposes of the church is to help us to refocus. God knew so well that refocusing was important that he put it in the Ten Commandments. Every seventh day, you should take a day off to refocus. Do you know what that refocus is called? It's called adoration. It's called worship. And anytime you focus on God and express love to God, you're worshiping him, you're adoring him. The lifeline of the church helps us to worship. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 38, he says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Now, why is this the first commandment? Why is this the greatest commandment? Why does God say, above all other things, I want you to love me first? Because you know what? He made you for it. God made you to love you, and you were made to love him back. He wants you to love him back. God knows everything about you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and guess what? He still loves you. He wants you to know and to love him, and the purpose of worship is to help you to do that. The church is supposed to help you do that. And here's the thing, worshiping, adoring God is a support in life that radically adjusts your perspectives and your motives because it refocuses you. When you do it without holding back, it refocuses you. Psalm 34, verse 3 says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Real quickly, here are three words that define worship, that we use to define worship at Old Fort Church. The words are celebration, inspiration, and preparation. Celebration, inspiration, and preparation. Let me explain those real quickly to you. Celebration. Friends, we come to celebrate who God is and what God does. It's not a memorial service because God's not dead. It's an alive service. It's a celebration because God's very much alive. Worship shouldn't be some dingy or dead thing. It's a celebration. Number two is inspiration. We want to refresh. We want to encourage one another. Life's really hard sometimes, so we need to be able to fuel up to get through the week that's ahead. But it's not just a matter of getting through. It's about being inspired to become more and more like Jesus, to experience life change, and to be inspired to go out and to change the world. Third, preparation. We need to be prepared to live this life as fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We're on a mission to bring people to Jesus. When's the last time you brought someone to Jesus? When's the last time you brought someone to church? That's our first lifeline. Here's the second lifeline of the church. The church is this, is that my spiritual family helps me to face life's difficulties. Life's difficulties. Life's tough. You know what? It's just tough. We've been saying that through this series. Well, this lifeline reminds us that we weren't made to face this on our own. So God's given us a family, a fellowship, and made us members of his body, and it's called the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 10 and 11 say, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, if you're using your message outline this morning, I want you to take a moment to write down those three groupings, these three groupings of words from that scripture. First, write down together. That scripture tells us together. Write the word together. Second, write one another. One another. And then third, write each other. Together, one another, and each other. Now take a moment with me, leaving that verse on the screen for a moment. Read the words that come right before each of those words. What's right before the word together? Live together. Friends, live together. We're supposed to do life together. All of it, all the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it together. What's right before the word one another? Encourage one another. I should encourage you. You should encourage me. That also means having encouraging conversations, which means staying away from nitpicking and downgrading and rumoring and negativity. Encourage one another. Then what's right before each other? Build each other up. Wow, how can we lift one another? How can we help people get through the droughts and the downers and the difficulties of their lives? And all we do, constantly be building each other up. Hear what a couple of verses tell us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. It says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. And then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Our spiritual family helps us in our difficulties. Rich Randolph is one from our church family who's known that reality all too well. And I asked Rich if he'd be willing to come up and share just a little bit of his story and the story of how the church has been there for him and his difficulties. So Rich, come share with us, would you please?
I know many of you here know me, and some of you may not, but my name is Rich Randolph. Been attending Old Fort Church for a while. I'm gonna give you a little bit of my story and help you get to know me a little better. So I grew up in church. I attended Catholic school, and I enjoyed it a lot. Did that all the way through grade school, all the way through high school. When I left for college, and while I was away, I started attending church less and less. When I came home, I began dating my wife, Jennifer. We both attended college together, but we were not attending church, though. So we graduated from school. We got married in September of 1992. And in July of 1993, we were blessed with our first child, Corey. Things were going great. I had a good job. We bought our first house together, and we were happy. But in 1995, that changed. Our marriage was falling apart. Communication between us was terrible or non-existent. The more I tried to fix things, the worse it got. And by the end of the year, the divorce papers were drafted, and we were waiting for our signatures. Is this what we really wanted? Both of us decided that it was not. We needed to give it one last chance. So we decided to go to counseling. And we also looked at our lives and asked ourselves what was missing. And we both agreed that it was church. So we decided to start attending Old Fort Church. The counseling was great, but it became evident quickly that church is what we were missing. And we both knew it right away. We became part of a Sunday school class with other young couples led by Norm and Nola Murray. Jen took part in a campaign for the new church. We both volunteered with the youth on Wednesday nights. It was all very positive, rewarding experiences. We became part of a small group which met outside of church to continue learning and moving in God's word. But we would truly see and feel the power of becoming part of God's church soon after we began attending. In July of 1998, our daughter Abby was hit by a car. Life flighted to St. V's in Toledo. For 2 days, the doctors worked on her. I don't remember much about my time there, but to this day, I remember seeing many different people from the church, in the hallways, in the chapel, or just taking time to talk with us and pray with us. The same kind of love and support was shown when Jen was dealing with and going through treatments for cancer. The amount of support for our family, rides to treatment, and food, but most importantly, the prayers and encouragement from everyone. That's what helped the most. This is what I'm thankful for. Walking through those doors of the church in December of 1995 was a little scary, but it was the best decision we have ever made. And me and my family continue to be blessed by all of you and to be part of this church. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich, for sharing part of your heart with us, because our heart is with you. And that's what the church does, right? Our heart is there for one another through the most difficult times of life. And those of you that know Rich know more of how that story goes, and we continue to love and support him and his family, and are so grateful to have them as part of our church. There's a third lifeline for my spiritual family, and it's this. It's that my spiritual family helps me to firm my faith. To firm my faith. We need to have our faith reinforced on a regular basis, don't we? I mean, I know that I do. The church helps us to clarify our values and to think through and determine what's important in life. Do you remember hearing the phrase when you were growing up, you'll become who you hang out with? You remember hearing that phrase? Well, it's true. It's true. You'll become who you hang out with. Well, if it's true, then so hanging out with God's family on a regular basis, it helps you to become God's child. It helps you to become God's child and know what that looks like. Hebrews chapter 6, the first part of verse 1 says, "So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead to become mature in our understanding." Friends, God wants us to grow up in the church family. He wants us to grow up. He wants us to become spiritually strong in our faith. And that's why over the past few weeks, I've emphasized the Bible as a lifeline to support us. And why I've challenged you to read the whole New Testament in 3 months, to just do that, to gain knowledge and perspective and develop convictions, sharpen your skills, and produce character through God's word. Together, we can firm our faith. And it's why I talked about the Holy Spirit last week. Living in step with the Spirit, what that does is that matures you. And we do that together in church family. From the time that I came to Christ at the age 18, the summer after I graduated from high school, I've pretty much always been a part of a small group or a life group of some kind, always. It's this group life, friends, that has changed my life. Always doing life of faith with others. I've been in discipleship groups, in deep study groups, in topical study groups, accountability groups, single groups before I met my awesome wife, young adult groups, married groups, mixed groups, ministry groups, and more. And when I think back, there are so many people that I should thank for my spiritual development who are part of that happening just by doing life with me as a spiritual family. The main thing I want to encourage you to do is to get involved with other people in your spiritual family. You can be in church and not belong to a spiritual family. I did that for the first 18 years of my life. You can be in church and not belong to a spiritual family. When I was in high school, they used to have these occasional YMCA dances. They call them Y dances. And I would go to those dances, some of those dances with my friends, and I'm telling you, I was the best-looking wallflower there. I mean, there's no way I was stepping out on that dance floor, but I'll keep the wall in place so that it doesn't go anywhere. Or the booth, they had some booths. I'd sit in the booth and talk to people, and it was weird. I had this, I'm going on a divergent here for a moment, but I have this football player on the football team who was this great big guy who would get drunk every Friday, and he'd come sit across from me and tell me all of his problems. And I remember driving him home a few nights, but I was not there to dance. There's no way I was going on the dance floor. And you know, if you're not dancing, get into the dance. Join a life group. Get involved in a ministry area. If you're musically gifted, get involved with the worship team somewhere. Get involved with other people in your church family, and that'll help to firm up your faith. And that leads us to the fourth way my spiritual family is a lifeline to me. My spiritual family helps me find my place. Find my place. When I first came to Christ, I was just entering into college. And I wasn't leaving town like all my friends. I started a local college, so I was at home. I didn't know who I was going to be around, so I got involved as an adult leader with the youth ministry and the church that I was a part of. And I grew so much during doing that. On a team of others who were working toward a purpose of reaching teens for Jesus, the growth that you'll experience by serving in ministry of some kind is something that's really hard to measure. Did you know that God made you for some kind of ministry? Every one of you. You've been uniquely made. God has things for you to do in ways that only you can do them, that no one else can or will do if you don't do it. You've likely heard me talk about teaching the Journey class here at Old Fort Church. We're finishing a session right now. We have one more week to go. So you're too late for this session, but we do it once or twice a year, probably be another one sometime in the fall. And this, the reason we call this the journey is because that's what we're all on. We're all in a journey going the same direction, all in different places, but all of us are heading toward this goal of becoming more like Jesus. We're all on that road together as different believers, maturing to be like Jesus. The journey in that class, we take time to do an inventory to understand how God's shaped us for ministry. And we use the acronym for SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E, and that stands for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. Now, why has God given you certain spiritual gifts, a heart for certain things that drive passion in you, spiritual abilities, distinct personalities and experiences in this life? Why would God give you all that? Because God wants you to use all five of those aspects in your life, not for yourself, but in ministry and pouring out for him and for others. Whenever you use your shape to serve God, to help others, you know what that's called? It's called ministry. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are all God's workmanship created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He's already prepared the works for you to do. He's waiting for you to do them. Can you comprehend what a lifeline that is for you and for me? Half of the difficulty, half of the loneliness, half of the desperation we face in life is due to not knowing what to do. You and I are God's workmanship, created to do ministry, which he prepared in advance for us to do. And once you figure out what that is and you jump head over heels into serving God and helping others, we gain this huge level of support to this life that's like no other. Your spiritual family, the church, can be a place for you to find your stride in ministry. And finally, here's the fifth spiritual way that you're, for your spiritual family that can be a lifeline to you is my spiritual family helps me to fulfill God's mission. God's mission. Not one of us, friends, is here by accident. Not one of us is here this morning by accident, but not one of us is in this world by accident. God didn't put you on this earth just to take up space, get a job, make some money, retire, and die someday. That's not your purpose for this life. He didn't put you just on this earth to beautify the earth. He's better than that. God has a purpose for our lives, and part of that purpose is his mission that we come to know as the Great Commission. You see, this is where the church doesn't only become a lifeline to you and me, but it makes us a lifeline to others. The Great Commission is us sharing the incredible news of Jesus Christ with others. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Friends, hear the depth of that verse. Life is worth nothing if we don't finish the race, if we don't complete the task. There's no greater accomplishment in life than to introduce somebody else to Jesus. Can you imagine getting to heaven someday? Someday you go to heaven and somebody comes up to you and says, "I'm here because you were a lifeline to me. Because when nobody else was telling me about Jesus, you did. You presented the lifeline for me to be able to find him, and that's why I'm here. Thank you so much for listening to his mission for your life." There's no greater accomplishment than that, friends. What could be more significant? The dearest thing to the heart of God is the death and the resurrection of his son, Jesus. And the second dearest thing to the heart of God is when you and I, his children, tell somebody else why Jesus did it. When we tell others what Jesus has done for us and why. Friends, look around you. Your spiritual family is a lifeline to you, so that you can be a lifeline to others. Look around you. This is your spiritual family. Look to the people who are to your right and to your left, who are in front of you and behind you, because this is your family. This is a lifeline. It's a lifeline in all the five ways that we talked about to help us focus on God, to help us face life's difficulties, to help us firm our faith, to help us find my place, and to help me fulfill God's mission. Listen, my family and I have truly learned the value of spiritual family. We truly have, because we've been somewhat of a traveling family over the years, almost like a military family. God's called us to different churches for different seasons, and we had to rely on spiritual family wherever we're at to be our extended family. We've had one appointment where we've been close to family. Every other time, the closest we've been is an hour and a half to 2 hours. Right now, we're 3 to 3.5 from Caroline's mom. So you are our family. And since Caroline and I were married, Old Fort Church is the fourth church that we've been a part of. It's the third one for our kids. We're hoping that we'll be here for quite some time. But you know what? What we hope more than anything is we keep in step with His Spirit. That's all that we ever want to do. And if that means doing a long life with you, we will celebrate it. And if that means not, we will celebrate that, because we want to keep in step with the Spirit of God. But we are spiritual family. And we know that so well from being in so many places. When you're in a spiritual family of God, there's always another brother or sister that you get to meet. Every time that extends somewhere else, there's another brother and sister that you get to meet. There's always another spiritual mother or father, a grandmother or grandfather, an uncle or an aunt, and who becomes part of our lives and part of the lives of our kids. There are people in this church that our kids call aunt and uncle. And we've had that in other churches, and it really fits, because you're all our brothers and sisters. By the bloodline of Jesus, we are all family. And the spiritual family is so greatly extended. We're talking extended over the whole world. You can be in a different part of the country or of the world, maybe traveling, and if you have a breakdown or a tragedy of some kind, if you look around and if you pray about it, you're going to find an extension of God's family there with you, other believers in Jesus who will step up next to you like a brother or sister and help you get through. It's not a club. It's not an organization. It's not a society or any other secular association. It's family in the truest sense of the word. And it's all held together by the same bloodline, the blood of Jesus Christ that ran red on a cross for you and for me. That's the bloodline that holds us together. There's nothing like it in all of the world. I don't know about you, but my spiritual family gives me life support that I don't want to, I cannot do without. I personally have more life support from my spiritual family than I even do my own biological family. I love them. but most of them are not spiritual family yet. And there's nothing like the connection of a brother or a sister in Christ. There's nothing like it in all the world. So I thank you for being my family and being my family's family. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we are so grateful for what you did for us on the cross. Because what happened there was an opportunity for reconciliation. All of us know what it means like to be disturbed and have a broken relationship. And humankind was broken in the relationship with God the Father. And Jesus, you became the bridge. Through your blood, you created a lifeline for us that we could be reconciled to the Father. And we become brothers and sisters in Christ. God, thank you for that blood that sticks closer than a brother. The blood that makes us brothers and sisters, the blood of Jesus. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in this room, for our family together. And God, might we be the church of God. Not go to church. Might we be the church of God. Loving and caring for, lifting up the burdens of one another, and bringing Jesus to the world around us. It's the ever-extending family called the Church of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, we are one under the banner, under the blood of Jesus Christ. So you're next to your brother and your sister, your mother and your father, your grandpa and your grandma. We're all together as a family. And we are so glad you're here with us. Today is that day we particularly celebrate the moms in the family. So moms, make sure you take a carnation today. Ladies, we know that you, even if you're a mother or not, that how special you are. So please take a carnation when you leave today. We love you and hope you have a beautiful day and week. We're praying the thunder stops, the rain comes down, and you maybe see some sunshine. Somebody at 8:30 said, well, with the rain can come a rainbow. So maybe there'll be a rainbow to remind you how much God loves you today. Let's walk in the name of Jesus.